A65. Number 1B.
So can you see the question here is a question that we all entertain, perhaps in a very wrong way. How can I and my family get along better? That's the tribal history. How much interest in Christian Science is devoted just to that? And you can't deny that a lot of interest is devoted just to that. How really can the tribal history of our family, of my family, be improved as if it were a reality? There is no reality about it. It's a symbol, and we mistake the symbol for the idea. Then the whole period changes to the 4,000-year period, as you know. It's the kingdom period, the prophetic period. And there we come to that period, which perhaps has been foremost in our thought. But it's only the 4,000-year period. It's not the sixth in which we live, or the seventh which we touch. What was the 4,000-year period, so the prophetic period? It was the revelation, really, of the idea of God. And so suddenly, that idea that has been revealed by God becomes the symbol. It's no more the tribes. Now suddenly, the idea that the prophets beheld became the reality. And therefore, they tried to symbolize that through whatever means they could. So it was quite a step forward at that point, where really the idea was the prophetic writings, where they brought forth the new ideas, where they introduced the system of divine ideas, where they could see the new Jerusalem as an idea, and no more as a city, no more as a tribal city. Suddenly the idea of God, the revelation of the idea of God, became the symbol. Just as, now you can see the parallel, just as to us, some years ago, really, the idea of what Mrs. Eddy taught became to us the true symbol. And said, oh, now we don't have any more to symbolize it through tribal histories and through sagas and legends or through creation myths. Now we can symbolize ideas. And so the prophet began to symbolize ideas, a terrific step forward. And it is that point where we began, so to say, our study of the seven synonymous terms, that we said, well, the reality of being, of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, can be revealed to us as the ideas of mind, the ideas of spirit, and so we began to really see that these ideas would symbolize reality. And we thought, that is the climax. But that's only the 4,000-year period. And that's what I want to bring out, you see, that we have here somehow a measuring rod where we can measure where are we individually in our spiritual stage. Are we there where we feel, oh, that's wonderful, now we can symbolize the ideas of God and can put them into a system, just as the prophet has tried to do it. Only think of Ezekiel, for instance, that he tried to put all these ideas somehow into a system. He calculated constantly with ideas. And so we too began to talk about the calculus of ideas, wouldn't we? But that was the 4,000-year period. What was then the 5,000-year period? The 5,000-year period was different. It was the life of Jesus, where the symbol and the idea became one. You didn't have an idea that you had somehow seen and tried to symbolize it through anything you could find that would symbolize this. But Jesus came and said, I am this idea. I am the Son of God. So he began for the first to wed really the symbol with the idea. So he was symbol, Jesus, and at the same time the idea, Christ. He was Jesus Christ. He was Jesus Christ. It is really there, you see, in our lives, where we begin to say and where we hear all over the place and we begin to see, well, you must live the idea. Where we say this idea is not only the letter, you must live it, meaning the symbol and the idea must be wedded so that there is a complete unity between symbol and idea. And so it's that stage where we feel, well, we should follow Jesus Christ, we should do what Jesus Christ did too, where we should emulate his works. Isn't that what we hear all over the place, in every religion, in Christian Science? That we should do the same thing as Jesus did. And if we do that, what Jesus did, and stay there, we are not progressing. We are falling back to the 5,000 year period. Because he did that. That was his mission at that period of the spiritual development of the idea. So, even as it sounds terrific, you know, that say, well, naturally you have to follow Jesus Christ, you have to emulate Jesus Christ, you have to do what he did. We are doing something that is nice, but not up to date. And if we do today that which is not up to date, if we do the things that was done thousand and many thousand years ago and was then the main important step, we are certainly on the wrong track. So we must see also what Jesus said is that he pinpointed the individuality of men, said each individual can be the symbol of the idea itself. And therefore you don't have any more to wait until the whole tribe comes along, as it was the case in the Old Testament, until the whole tribe was following Moses or was following and obeying the prophets. You individually, you can do it. You can demonstrate the unity of symbol and idea. And it's a big thing, and I think we all would love to be able to do that, but that is not our job. That's not the idea of this age. And we must do the idea that this age in which we live is being fulfilled, and not something that the prophets of old have done. If that would have been the end of all, there would have been no need for Mrs. Eddy to come along and bring us Christian Science. If that would have been the end of all, Jesus would not have said, I will bring you another comforter, and that comforter will teach you something more. He could see that what he done was the next step in the development of the idea. Then comes the 6,000-year period of truth. It's a 6,000-year period of Mrs. Eddy, of Christian Science, and what happened at that point? At that point, the symbol, the symbol is freed from all types of people. It's no more Jesus Christ. It's the science of Christ. It's no more a people Christ. It's no more a people idea. It's no more the wedding of the symbol and the idea as one. Now suddenly the symbol is freed more and more of a people sense. It's lifted out of the people sense into the realm of science. Suddenly no people are of importance. Suddenly no more that whole generation sends under a creative myth of the first 1,000-year period is important. No more the legends and sagas about people is important. No more the tribal history of the 3,000-year is important. Can you see? No more Jesus Christ is important. Now, Christ science is important. And so we must see that also within our consciousness we are aware, where are we going? What is our aim? What should we work out? Should we work out and try to emulate Jesus until we do the same as Jesus did? Or shall we try that what Jesus said should come after him, which is science? And so in science the symbol is now really science and no more Jesus. Huh? A terrific new revelation that came in. Now suddenly the symbol is science. Can you see what that means? A symbol is science, and that science is the idea at the same time. So we have the Christ science. Do you know what that means? Now the consequence of it is that all that matters is the idea of science. Now, can we change our life attitude? Can we change our whole life attitude to that new problem of seeing that now really science becomes the symbol and all our people? And that the only thing that matters is the idea. And actually there you can see that compared with the 5,000-year period where Jesus was stressing the individual, it's now the collective or the generic sense that is being stressed in that 6,000-year period in which we live, which says, you don't matter. You don't matter. That's not the important thing. It's not the first thing. Naturally, the individual matters because the individual is included in the collective. But that is not the aim of all things and the purpose of living. The purpose of your life, therefore, is here. Can you see the idea of science and devote yourself to the idea of science? And no more to tribal history and to family history and all these things. Yeah? See, that's the great turning point. And that's where most of the Christian scientists say, no, I don't go along with that. I want Christian science for that, how it has been used at Jesus' time, namely that it helps me to solve my daily problems. That's the aim. And here Mrs. Eddy comes and says, no. There is a higher sense. Our aim is really to see that only the idea of science matters. Can you see that that is a collective sense? It has no more the accent on the individual life and what I individually do. And if I'm a big shot and if I am the one that stands in the limelight, where the individual steps backward into its rank and says what is in the forefront and what matters at all is only the idea of science. That's our job at the present moment. That's where we live. And we say, within oneself we say now, why on earth, what is it that makes me study Christian science, that makes me give up so much for Christian science? Each one gives up a lot of his holiday to come here, a lot of money to come here, gives up all through the year his time for the study. Why do we do that? What is the reason for it? Is it for tribal history? Or is it for my own sake? How do I get something out of it? Or is it for that collective idea where the individual doesn't play such a big role, for the collective idea? Can we see that the idea of God is science today and not Jesus? A great question. So that is necessary to our study of the three categories of being, that within ourselves we have it quite clear why we are doing that. Now, with our syllabus program, we started out that way, that what we try to do is to culture really only the idea of science, because we were constantly contemplating the first category and then the second category and this week the third category of being for the one and only purpose to understand the science of it and not for any ulterior purpose. So at that point we must ask ourselves, is that actually our inner drive? Is that what we actually wish? Is that actually our motive? Why I study this science, and so make it rather clear to oneself in an absolutely honest way, am I up to date or am I somewhere with my whole attitude way back in the tribal history of an Abraham, Jacob and Joseph? That's why we like this story so well, because we like to be that way. Well, that's all right, but that's only the beginnings of it. We have to be somewhere else as our main purpose in life. So we studied really the science through the seven synonymous terms and through the ideas that characterize the seven synonymous terms. But one thing is very strong in my thought, and was for many, many years already, that we are at the end really of the 6,000 year period, that we are already approaching the 7,000 year period. And these 1,000 year periods, they just don't end on the dot, you know, at New Year's Eve at 12 o'clock, and then something new starts. There is a great overlapping time-wise of the change that takes place. And in a way, of all those who are, say, progressive in their consciousness, they naturally already labor, so to say, in the next 1,000 year period. And this has become very, very clear over the last 10 years or so. Namely, that actually what we should be aware of is that there is a new break coming on us, where, again, the question of symbol and idea must be considered from a new standpoint. Whereas in the 6,000-year period, which we have cultured through the syllabus class, we are culturing, so to say, that the symbol was the seven synonymous term, or let's say the capitalized terms and their ideas. But the 7,000-year period drops ideas. The 7,000-year period is that period where actually the symbol of oneness is the highest symbol. Where the symbol rises to the oneness of principle and idea, and we don't have any more to think in terms of ideas. Where the symbol idea disappears. And the only symbol that is left in that new age are the capitalized terms. Let's say the seven synonymous terms. Where we are no more thinking in terms of synonymous terms and their ideas, but where we are only thinking in terms of the capitalized terms, only in terms of mind, of spirit, of soul, of principle, of life, of truth, and of love, and no more in ideas. Because the synonymous term includes them all, and as it includes them, we can take that terrific law of redundancy and just can think in terms of the capitalized terms. And therefore, as there are no more ideas, we can no more think in terms of a text of sentences. You can no more make sentences with the capitalized terms only. What sentence do you want to make with mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love? No, you can make no sentence. So the language of spirit is that language of the capitalized term, which is a consciousness of really only the capitalized terms. Only when you have ideas, then you can make sentences. The textbook is a text of sentences. And the sentence is perhaps a synonymous term, perhaps a capitalized term, but the rest is mostly only ideas, and they're counterfeits. Can you see? The point is that in the measure, as we culture our consciousness in what we have been doing in those five syllabus classes, had as its true purpose to first study those capitalized terms through the ideas. You remember that we have done that? In order to lose the ideas and just have a consciousness of the capitalized term, which includes those ideas in a very defined way, in a tonality way, no more in a wordy way, no more in a letter way, but in a tonality way. So that with the next 1,000-year period, it's quite clear that actually only the capitalized terms are the symbol, and no more the ideas. In addition to that, you begin to realize something else, that the symbols become not only the capitalized terms, but the category of capitalized terms. What do I mean by that? That instead of having sentences with capitalized terms and ideas, you know, we have now capitalized terms that are seen and understood in their categories, that consciousness flows in categories and no more in sentences. Do you remember how since about 10 years I tried to introduce more and more, I think those who have followed me could see that way back 10 years ago, introducing, say, don't think anymore along sentences, begin to think along categories. The categories of the world, or the categories of the Christ, or the category of Christianity, or the category of science. Think along the category of Christian science, or the category of absolute Christian science, along the category of divine science, or of science itself. Think along the categories intertwining. Intertwining. Think along the category of mind in Christian science, of mind in absolute Christian science, of mind in divine science, of mind in science. It's still only the capitalized terms, no sentence, but a terrific impact, a terrific multifarious expression, a terrific symphony comes out of it. That's the 7,000-year period. And that's what I hoped that we would be able to achieve through the syllabus classes, to see where we are. That we are not taking a new idea like the science here and treat it as if we would be living in the 3,000-year period, to use it as tribal history, or to use it only as the prophetic age was considering it, that there is a new idea and a nice idea about things, or not even as Jesus used it, by making ourselves, Jesus was a corporeal concept. He was bodily, to make the bodily concept of ourselves the idea, and wed it to the idea. We must go further than that, or we're not helping the universe. We cannot solve the present problems of the universe with the method of yesterday. That doesn't work in no science. So here we are, and see, my word, So that's what we are driving at, what is our main purpose, is really to have a consciousness of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love, operating as what? Word, Christ, Christianity, science. What science? Operating as Christian science, absolute Christian science, divine science, science. Golly, what a picture opens up. An enormous picture opens up. It has nothing to do anymore with a human symbol. That should be something to think about.